And we look forward to being together again on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and praising the Lord and worshiping Him on Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, if you will, please, would you please stand together for the reading of God's Word out of respect for it? I appreciate that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was," say it with me, "Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name," can we say it together? "Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the evening and for the songs that have been sung. Lord, for the heartstrings that have been strummed. And Father, we thank you for coming and meeting with us in a simple setting. Lord, we are certainly grateful now for the Word of God. And as we open it, we pray that you give us wisdom. Lord, I yield myself to you, and I want to be a blessing and a help tonight and encouragement as we go into these next few days preparing for Christmas morning. And I pray that you would speak, Lord, to your church. And I pray that we would listen. Father, I yield myself to you anew tonight. And I ask that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit and used as a vessel unto honor. Please preach through me your message, Lord, to us, your people. And I pray that tonight as we leave here, we would be refreshed and greater prepared for this wonderful holiday we call Christmas. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name and for his sake, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I'm not sure how many of us have ever accidentally discovered what our Christmas presents were before we got them, but I can imagine that there are more than a few of us who have purposely discovered what we were getting for Christmas, and when we found out, it was amazing. Let's just do a self-help test this morning. How many people, no matter what age you were, at some point in your life discovered what you were getting for Christmas because you went looking for it? Let me just see your hands. Good. Wonderful. I feel better already. 2,000 years ago, a young woman named Mary was engaged to be wed to a man named Joseph. And one day, Gabriel, one of God's choice archangels, came and told Mary God's plan to bring his son into the world. That day, Mary made some pretty significant discoveries about God. Now, most people I know have not arrived to the place of perfection. Rather, the people I normally hang out with are still sinners that God is trying to conform to the image of his dear son. And in doing so, they have God speak to them, and he reveals himself through scripture, many times through circumstances, to accomplish his perfect will in their lives. I wonder this last year, if you can look back at it, what have you discovered about who God is? What have you discovered about not just the nature and person of God, but what have you discovered about his promises? What have you discovered about his power, and what have you discovered about his plans? Because what Mary discovered more than 2,000 years ago, quite honestly, people are still struggling to figure out today. If you have your outline, I want to ask you to notice with me tonight three eternal truths that some people have yet to discover. What did Mary discover that night when Gabriel came? What was it that Mary would eventually figure out? Well, number one, I think Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal. That God's plans are eternal. And verse 33, the Bible says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, God has an uncanny way of showing us from time to time that his plans are not our plans. Would you agree with me? That his way of doing things is normally the opposite of our way of doing things. And he takes into things in account that we'd never think about. And that can be a bit frustrating and sometimes embarrassing. Now, let's just think about Mary. First of all, I believe Mary had some expected plans. And you can assume this with me. There's no question that there were some expectations that Mary had and intentions swirling around through her mind as she was preparing to be married to Joseph. After all, she was a young lady. She had dreams just like every other young girl. At one point in her life, she dreamed that she would find the right guy. And guess what? She found him. And during this engagement, she was thinking about how she was going to get married and maybe one day have a home and where she would live and how she would function. And maybe she was even thinking about, well, I don't know very many recipes. Maybe I need to run to Elizabeth's house, or maybe I need to ask Joseph's mom to kind of help me. We don't know exactly, but we can assume that if she was engaged and planning a wedding, she probably had a few things on her mind. She probably had a place setting for every one of the guests. She probably knew what the menu was going to be at the reception. She probably had some expectations and some plans. She maybe at one point in her life also thought, man, I hope that I could have a child one day. And after I'm married, maybe we'll wait a few years and maybe we'll have one, or maybe we'll have a whole bundle. I don't know, Joseph, how many kids do you want to have? And maybe those discussions took place. Perhaps she hoped that they would be successful in society and maybe even have an impact there in Nazareth or in Galilee or even broader, maybe even in Jerusalem. I don't know, but certainly Mary had some expected plans. Secondly, I think that she ran into God's eternal plan. God's plan was a bit different from Mary's and Joseph's, would you agree? In fact, Mary, God said, you're going to have a baby before you get married. Now, that may be normal in the 21st century, but it wasn't then. It may be the status quo in the 21st century. It may be the dealio to live with somebody and have a child out of wedlock, but that was not done in Jesus' day. In fact, when she was with child, Joseph had every right to kill her. He had every right to cast her out. He had every right to divorce her. And God said, hey, Mary, I just want you to know that my plan's a little different. I'm going to put the Son of God in you before you even get married, and you're going to have to deal with it. Wow. Then she finds out that her son will be the Son of God. And then he wouldn't be called Joseph. His name was going to mean something. It was called Jesus or Yeshua. He would be the King of Kings, and he would rule forever. Look at verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Look at verse 30. She feared because he said, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. It's going to be okay. Look at verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. Wow. That's a little different. Mary's discovery was along the lines of God's plans and that they were totally different. Gabriel's message intimates that God's plan for Mary was due to God's favor upon her life. Over and over, you're highly favored. You see, she was privileged to be involved in a much bigger plan. One not just for her life, not just for her family, but one that would potentially touch the entire world. The Bible says in Isaiah 55 and verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You can imagine why Mary must have feared. Certainly, when he said that, it was because of fear of her own life. Then perhaps it was fear of shame and fear of all kinds of things that must take place because of what happened. You see, I believe God wants to remind us tonight that as we've made our plans for Christmas or made our plans for the new year already, that we ought to be making plans in this life with eternity in mind. In fact, the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. May I ask you tonight, what plans will you make in the coming year with God's eternal plan in mind? We can set goals and we can have all kinds of decisions that we're going to make and plans that we can make in the new year, but what of your new year includes God. You see, Mary made a discovery that God's plans are forever, that they go beyond just our plans. Secondly, she made a discovery that God's promises are unfailing. In verses 32 and 33, the Bible says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Because Christmas is celebrated at the end of the year, I believe it makes it quite profitable to look back on the previous 12 months of God's grace and faithfulness and count blessings and see the hand of God. Now, let's just consider what we would know that Mary would know. First of all, Mary, I believe, was very familiar with God's promises. I believe she knew. I'm sure Mary was already familiar with the promise of a Messiah and that he would rule on the throne of David. And I'm sure that she had heard of the prophecy of a virgin giving birth. Of course that would happen. 750 years prior to that, over 700 years, they've been rehearsing that there would be a virgin that would give birth and that he would be born in Bethlehem. The Bible says in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign." He's speaking to Israel. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The Bible says in Micah 5 and verse 2, even told him where to go. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Now think of this, 750 years and nothing has happened. Perhaps they thought it ain't never going to happen. 750 years. Now let's just think about this. Israel was down in Egypt 400 years. And they labored and they cried out to the Lord. And then he delivered them. 400 years. Now all of a sudden, God has been prophesying he's going to come. He's going to come. 750 years go by. And maybe she just thought, well, how long is it going to be, O Lord? How long do I have to wait for this promise to be fulfilled? How long do I have to wait before Israel's delivered? How long? You ever thought about that? Maybe you've asked that question to God. Lord, how long do I have to wait in this state? Lord, how long do I have to be in this circumstance? Lord, how long does this have to go on? And you start to wonder if God's even listening. How long wilt thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind, Job said. How long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? How long will ye forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? The Bible is filled with people who have said, God, how long do I have to wait? I think Mary was familiar with her promises, but I think secondly, she had some missing faith in those promises. Verse 34, the Bible says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, How's this going to happen? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, I don't know about you, and I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but that doesn't sound much like someone who really believes what God's going to do. How's this going to happen? One of the hardest principles to deal with in a self-consumed society is that God doesn't work on our timetable. And the more selfish a person is, the more frustrating their life becomes as they struggle with person to person, circumstance to circumstance, attempting to manipulate life to work out their glory instead of God's. Whenever that happens, the first thing that dies in their heart is faith. They forget that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Warren Wiersbe said, and I quote, "The ability to calm your soul and wait before God is one of the most difficult things in the Christian life. Our old nature is restless. The world around us is frantically in a hurry, but a restless heart usually leads to a reckless life." Man, Mary put on the brakes and she stopped. She had known the promises, but I can assume that after so many years, especially 400 years since a prophet had been heard, when the angel stood before her, I can imagine her heart in question. I can imagine her faith was in question. And she simply asked the question, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Some years ago, I read about a speedboat driver who had recently survived a racing accident. He said that he had been at near top speeds when his boat veered slightly and hit a wave at a dangerous angle. And the combined force of his speed and the size of the angle of the wave sent the boat spinning out of control into the air. He was thrown from his seat, they tell me, and propelled deeply into the water. So deep, in fact, that he had no idea which direction the surface was. He had to remain calm and wait for the buoyancy of his life vest to begin pulling him up. Once he discovered, of course, which way was up, he could swim for the surface. And sometimes we find ourselves surrounded by confusing options, don't we? Too deeply immersed in our problems to know which way is up. When this happens, ladies and gentlemen, we need to remain calm. We need to wait for God's gentle tug to pull us in the right direction. Our life vest at times could be other Christians. Certainly, without a doubt, I believe it's the Scripture and the Holy Spirit of God. The key, though, is recognizing our dependency upon God and trusting Him. Mary looks at Gabriel, perhaps looked down, perhaps looked in, perhaps looked up, I don't know, and question, how's this going to happen? Mary settled in her heart that day, however, what many of us could use before the beginning of this next year, and that is, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Maybe you need to be reminded in this coming year of the promises that He made to you. Did you know, according to Hebrews 13:5, that He'll never leave you nor forsake you? Did you know that He promises in Genesis 15 and verse 1 that He promises to protect you? He promises to provide for you in Psalm 37:25, and in Isaiah 41:10, He promises to help you and to strengthen you and to uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. In 1 Samuel 12:22, He promises to be faithful. And in Romans 8:28, He promises to work all things together for good, all of them, for His glory. Those promises we may be familiar with at times, but isn't it true that all too often our faith is just not quite there? How long, O Lord? That song over and over again I've sung even by myself, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. You know, hope deferred makes the heart stoop. There were human beings just like we are. I wonder how long they waited. How long can you keep your hope up? So long that when an angel of God appears to you and you finally recognize Him for what it is and He says, this is what's going to happen. God has shown favor on you. You get to be a part of God's eternal plan. And here's the promise. God can do anything. I don't understand. How is that going to happen? Mary discovered that God's plans are eternal plans, and she got to be a part of it. She discovered God's promises are unfailing. Number three, she discovered that God's power is unlimited. After the question in verse 34, the Bible says, Mary unto the angel said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And notice this, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Watch this, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Can we say that together tonight? Ready? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Let's say it again like we believe it. Ready? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. We're familiar with it, but do we really believe it? Do we honestly believe that that's the God that we worship at first, just like Nicodemus, who was told by the Lord Jesus that in order to go to heaven, you have to be born again, Nicodemus. Being a Pharisee is not enough. Being a priest isn't enough. Being religious isn't enough. You've got to be born again. And he was confused, and he said, well, how can I be old, enter back into my mother's womb? Can I be born again that way? And that was the same question. How can this be? And that's when she was assured by God's messenger that with God, there was unlimited power. By the way, that's pretty good news for a young lady who was trying to figure it all out. That's pretty good news for a young lady that had a whole bunch of details wrapped like spaghetti in her mind and the impossibilities and the circumstances. was all wiped away by God's ability to do what no one else could do. That's what we forget. Mary would soon discover. Well, many of us seem to forget at a given time that God's power is unlimited. And he offers proof. Hey, you remember your cousin? Remember, she's so old and they waited for this son and it was come that long expected child for them. And Zacharias is the priest. And I just want you to know, she's going to have a baby. Mary's ears went, what? Okay, wait a minute. This is what you've said. And now you're offering me empirical evidence that my cousin is going to have a child. Well, if God could do it for her, then God really can't do anything. And then he gives her the reassurance. Look at what it says in verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you think maybe she was saying impossible? You think maybe in her heart she was saying, it's impossible. I can't have a baby. I'm not even married yet. Impossible. Elizabeth can't have a baby. She's too far up in age. She's been trying, but she can't have a baby. Impossible. And God says, oh yeah? Well, let me just tell you something. You remember Sarah? I gave her a baby. I gave Isaac and Rebecca a baby. I gave Jacob's wife a baby. Rachel, I gave Elizabeth a baby. And now I'm going to give one to you, Mary. And you're not even married. Now, I want you to know this is impossible. What kind of power does God really have? Well, a quick perusal of Scripture helped me today, and I want to give this to you. First of all, he has the power to create life. If God could create man, then breathe into man so that he became a living soul, could he not create life at his disposal? Genesis 18:14, the Bible says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Whoop, wait a minute. Way back in Genesis, it sounds like Sarah thought that's impossible. There's no way. Abraham, in fact, the Bible says, you know what she did when she was told she was going to have a baby? She laughed. Are you kidding? Maybe she said, that'll be the day. And God said, today is your day. You're going to have a baby. That's the power that God has. It's unlimited. He has the power to create life. Secondly, he has the power to sustain it. Isaiah 44:2, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb. Listen to this, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. Oh, look, and by him all things consist. Listen very carefully. There is no such thing as a self-made man. Amen. There's no such thing as a self-made woman. You may think that you're in control, and God laughs, the Bible says, at the wicked that think that they can go to and get gain. The Bible tells us that God is the one in which we live and move and have our being. Psalm 145, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Listen, you may need to be reminded tonight that God only has the power to sustain your life. You need to remember that. Because when the checkbook runs out, God's grace never runs out. Amen. When you think that you have too much guilt to bear and you're walking around in dark despair, God says, hey, I want you to know my mercies are new every single morning because I rose from the grave. God says, I have the power to create it. I have the power to sustain it. And I've got the power, letter C, to give it again if I want to. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. So why did he say Lazarus? Because if he just said, get up, everybody that was dead would have got up. That's why. And then they'd have had a mess on their hands. How do we explain this one? Jesus walked through and everybody's alive again. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes into your life, you're alive again too. He has the power to give life whenever he feels like it. Letter D, he has the power to save a soul. The disciples were kind of freaking out one day. I think they felt a little crowded. I don't know. I can't remember the context, whether it was about the government or the Pharisees. But Jesus said to them, don't fear. I'm paraphrasing. Don't fear the one that can take just your life. Fear the one that can take your life and also send your soul to hell. Well, that's a pretty big deal. I suppose it's a pretty big deal to give life, to sustain a life. I know it is. It's the pretty big deal to bring one back from the dead. But the biggest deal, Jesus said, is what happens after this life. Luke 18:24, there was a rich man that came to Jesus. He said, "Hey, what do I need to do in order to have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, here's what you need to do. Keep these commandments." And he listed all six that had to do with his relationship with man, not the first four that have his relationship to do with God. Interesting, when I studied that the other day. He said, "Obey your parents, don't kill anybody, don't steal, don't commit adultery. Be nice, love your neighbor." All those kind of things. And he said, "I got it. I'm all good. All these have I kept from my youth." And Jesus said, "But there's one thing I didn't tell you. You're lacking one thing. Go and sell all that thou hast, take up thy cross, and follow me." The Bible says that the young man went away sorrowful. Shortly after that, Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful. He said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? Listen, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" Peter and all that were with him said, "Whoa, if that's such a big deal, who's going to be saved?" And notice what Jesus said. "These things are impossible with men, but possible with God." You know what God can do? The greatest promise that he can ever grant, the greatest power he can ever display in your life, is the power to save your soul. William Barclay once said, "When you pray, remember the love of God that wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish it." Now, all that she discovered that night was resolved in her heart. And it's really summed up in one verse, in verse 38, and we're done. Mary said, at the end of all this, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." After all was said and done, after all was given to her by God from the messenger Gabriel, she said, "Okay, it's all going to be okay. I don't know how I'm going to get from A to B. I don't know what people are going to say about me. I don't know what Joseph's going to say. I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know where this baby's going to be born. But God, I trust you. I believe that your plans are better than mine. And I need to be involved in it. In fact, it's a privilege to be involved in it. God, I trust your promises because we've waited for so long for this expected Messiah. And now you've spoken. God, I trust your power. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. I don't know how we're going to feed this baby." But she said it the best way anybody's ever said it. "Be it unto me then, according to thy word." What does that tell me? That means she believed. That means she trusted with all of her heart. She wasn't leaning under her own understanding, but in all of her ways, she was not just acknowledging him, but God was directing her paths. She was willing. Someone said, "It is not the multitude of hard duties, it is not constraint and contention that advances in our Christian course. On the contrary," he said, "it is the yielding of our wills without restriction and without choice to tread cheerfully every day in the path in which providence leads us, to seek nothing, to be discouraged by nothing, to seek out duty in the present moment, to trust all else without reserve to the will and the power of God." So what discoveries will you make this Christmas? I hope that you discover the peace on earth and the goodwill that is only found in Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. I hope that your Christmas is one that includes God's eternal plan. I hope that it is more than willing to trust in the promises and the power of God, because you just know that he is. 'Twas the fight before Christmas and all through the house. Not a creature was peaceful, not even my spouse. The bills were strung out on the table with dread in hopes that our checkbook would not be in the red. The children were fussing and throwing a fit when Billy came screaming and cried, "I've been bit." Mama with her skillet and I with the remote, she said, "You change one more channel and I'll grab your throat." When on the TV there arose such a clatter, I sat on the couch to see what was the matter. When what to my wondering eyes should appear, the cable was out. It was my worst fear. The Cowboys, the Lakers, the Raiders, the Knicks, without the sports channel, I'd soon be in need of fix. And then in the midst of my grievous sorrow, I remembered the times I had promised tomorrow. Not now, my children, but at some soon time, Dad will play with you and things will be fine. Now under conviction, I looked at my wife. Where was my kindness? Why all the strife? My heart quickly softened. I now saw my task. Some love and attention was all they had asked. I gathered my family and called them by name and told them with God's help, I'd not be the same. We'll keep Christ in Christmas and honor his plan. No more fights before Christmas. On that we will stand. My children's eyes twinkled. They squealed with delight. My wife gladly nodded. She knew I was right. It was the fight before Christmas, but God's love had come through. And just like he does, he made all things new. Wouldn't that be a great Christmas? A Christmas that includes God's plan of peace, of love, and of joy. I don't know what you need to discover tonight. Perhaps you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never been born again. If you died tonight, you are not 100% sure that you'd be in heaven because you've never come to Jesus. A lot of people have religious experiences. That won't get you to heaven. A lot of people have taken sacrament. A lot of people have prayed to saint. A lot of people have taken Mary up on their list of things to do or list. A lot of people have been baptized. A lot of people have taken communion. But without taking Christ, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Maybe you need to trust in the power of Christ alone to save you. Maybe there's a promise enveloped in the inspired pages of God's word that you need to take and hide in your heart so that you won't sin against God. Maybe there's some impossible situation. There could be a marriage falling apart. There could be a child wayward. And you once held and stood so firm on the promises of God, but it's been so long that now it's a faint memory. Instead of a promise, it's kind of a proposition, and you really forget the power of the God behind it to fulfill it. I don't know what you need to discover tonight, but I know that that portion of Scripture is one of the most precious portions of Scripture in all of the Bible because of a young lady who was put into an impossible situation but was given the promises of God, and God enabled her by his power to do something that affected every single person in this room, and that's the God that we serve. Father, we sure love you, and we thank you for Christmas. I thank you for Mary. I thank you for the simple truths, Lord, that are wrapped up all around the people in Scripture. I'm so grateful they're available to us today. My prayer and my heart is that somebody tonight would discover that Jesus saves. That they would change their address spiritually and know when they leave this building that Christ is their only hope for salvation, that they have taken a time and called on the name of the Lord, and tonight, maybe that's the night. Perhaps, Lord, there's a Christian here tonight that is in need of a promise. And that faith, that sweet, innocent, childlike faith that Jesus spoke of so sweetly in the Scriptures, has long since been dead and needs a reviving. Would you encourage that soul? Would you help that saint? Would you help them to take hold of the provision of God, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Knowing that we have been young and old and we've never been forsaken. And Lord, I pray that you'd meet every need. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, I wonder if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my personal Savior, but tonight I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know this Christmas was a Christmas that changed my life because I took Christ as my Savior. I want to know how I could know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd like to be saved tonight. If that's your prayer, with nobody looking around, would you just slip up your hand real quick so I can see it and pray for you? Anybody like that? Anybody at all? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. All right. Christian, let me ask you this. What have you discovered recently in God's Word? In the last 12 months, what have you discovered about who God is? What have you discovered about His eternal plan? Are you working His eternal plan in your life? Or have you made other plans? What promise can you take from here tonight? What hope can you put in Christ? I hope whatever it is, that you leave encouraged and prepared as we end this week, culminating in Christmas on Sunday morning. How many would say, Pastor, God spoke to me directly tonight about a certain aspect of my life, and I'd like you to pray for me? If that's you, would you just slip up your hand real quick? I'd like to pray for you briefly here before we close. Anybody like that? Just lift your hand up. Pastor, pray for me this Christmas. Pray for me. All right, you can put your hands down. Could we